This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Nyquist works into the half boards, had it knocked off his stick by Matthews partially. Now he gets away from Matthews, closes in with a pass, scores! Danny DeKeyser got away, unmarked after Matthews lost his man, and the Red Wings win it in overtime.
Oh, yes, they do. 3-2, the final of Detroit over Toronto in overtime. Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert with you. In seconds, we'll be going back to Detroit to pick up Ralphie. Gibby, first of all, just a quick thought on what you saw tonight.
Well, if it wasn't for Freddie Anderson, I think the game would have been over in regulation time, to be quite honest with you. So, obviously, he's put some work into his time off because he was sure as heck ready to go tonight. And some of the saves he came up with were just phenomenal.
Yeah, right around the just before they scored, Marlowe scored to give it a 2-2 tie. He made a great save on a breakaway that really kept them in, and a couple of other saves after. He was a key component. Postgame Roundtable is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Make tracks to your local Ontario dealer. Come in for a test drive today. Subaru, confidence in motion. Back to Detroit. Ralphie, what did you see tonight, sir?
Wow, not a lot of good. And I think the real concern is number one, okay, now you've got Hyman back in the lineup healthy. Janssen was out, back healthy. Jake Gardiner missed a couple of games. He's back as well. Other than Tyler Rennes, you really don't have much of a concern on the injury front. You bring in Jake Muzzin. And again, you know, it seems to be whenever they've got the full team together and healthy, going back to when Nylander was finally signed and brought into the folds once again this season, they've not been a very good hockey team. And I think when you look at the last 12 games now, just 4 wins. And this in a stretch where they had so many home games, 14 out of 19 at home, you thought this is where they can distance, if not catch Tampa, at least distance themselves from the third place or a wild card position, and they haven't been able to do that.
Ralphie, what's your assessment of Morgan Rielly's game, first time playing his offside?
I thought there was a little bit of a struggle. He seemed to be slow reacting to some pucks that got in behind him. You might even say that when it came to the overtime goal, where he just seemed just a little slow, a little off in the reaction time. So that's one thing I noticed, and it's easy to notice when a guy gets... ended up leading the Leafs in ice time. What was it, about 26, 28 minutes? I believe when everything was said and done, 28 minutes and 16 seconds. Yeah. And the only other player with over 20 minutes on the night was Mitch Marner with 22 minutes and 34 seconds. So Morgan Rielly is certainly the workhouse when it came to, or workhorse when it came to ice time on the blue line for the Leafs tonight.
Now, what about Jake Muzzin? What did you notice?
I thought he was solid. I mean, I still think it's going to take him a while to sort of blend in and start to feel comfortable. But certainly I think we're going to find that you're going to like the element that he brings. There's a little bit of the physical play, but not a bad shot from the blue line either in the offensive zone.
I guess a little bit of a positive was the 3M line, I guess they call it now, was a little more effective tonight. Had some great chances. Obviously, Matthews continuing to finish his opportunities. It's 2 in a row now, plus an assist. So a little bit of positive there with that line tonight, I guess.
Yeah, except, the guys from that line that are out in the power play. And I know you guys have probably got that. I know somebody's got that written down.
So next question.
I thought it was okay. 5-on-5, and they were the Leafs' best line tonight. But very sporadic as well. I mean, until Matthews scored in the second period, there wasn't anybody offensively that you looked at and said, boy, they look on, or that they've got their legs tonight. So, to that extent, that was the line that, allowed the Leafs to at least get to overtime and was their best line. But not a lot, on the support side of things as far as other lines creating great scoring chances. Jimmy Howard had a pretty easy night tonight.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And we might as well touch on it. I mean, you broached the subjects. So I mean, 52 times, 52 opportunities. Their last 52, they're 7 for 52, 13 point something percent, 13.46%. What is going on? with this power play that we thought was going to just tear people apart this year.
Well, and I think the scary thing now, Gibby, is you go through it, you go through the five power plays, and it's not like you're saying, man, they had all kinds of chances.
Yeah.
So-and-so hit the post. Somebody else just went off escape and wide. There's no opportunities. I mean, I really believe a big part of it, and I know teams that do this end up getting burned on giving up a lot of shorthanded goals, but there's not a lot of movement on the power play. And I know we've talked about this before. It's Mitch Marner basically coming off the right wing boards.
Yeah,
and
very true.
And do you have Matthews slide down? Is it going to go tape to tape? I know Mike Babcock even threw out William Nylander instead of Kadri in the third period, I guess trying to get maybe a different look or a right-handed shot out there. But I think what happened was is all that success they had early on in the season, which included a game here in Detroit, other teams have simply broken down on video. Said, okay, here it is. It's Marner coming off the boards. Unfortunately, one of the things the Leafs don't have, or at least don't utilize, is plan B, which would be firing the puck from the blue line with traffic in front.
Yep.
So I think that's one of the problems is they're a one-trick pony when it comes to the power play. It's either a highlight reel goal or it's no opportunities at all.
Well,
I think that's one thing. I mean, they don't have Ovechkin, Stamkos, Doughty, you know, that one-timer at the top of the circle or the guy that can hammer it from the middle of the ice.
Gibby was saying during one of the power plays how the wings had just dropped back because there was no shot from the point coming, right?
Yeah, all you got to do, take the lanes away and hopefully your goaltender can see it if it's to the point. I thought a couple of times, I think it was Jake Gardner in the second unit, tried to just wrist a couple of shots through. If the Leafs aren't going to attempt it, then, as Gibby was saying, that's all teams are going to do. They're just going to collapse. They're going to say, you know what, we're going to clutter as much as we can in front of the slot, in front of our goaltender, and good luck trying to pass your way through it. I mean, you're going to get the odd one, or you might get a bounce off a skate, but it becomes very predictable, and I think that's where they are right now. You know, even if you've got guys, a lot of times you'll see teams that are successful in the power play, there's a lot of motion where the guy goes from one side of the net, behind the net, out the other side. So you've always got the defenders with their head on a swivel. The Leafs really make it easier for the defenders, I think, at times in the power play. Because they say, okay, we know Tavares is going to be here. Kadri's here. We might have to watch Matthews coming up and down the left wing side from the top of the circle. If it goes to Riley in the middle of the ice, he's not going to shoot it. He's either going to give it to Matthews or back to Marner. And it's eventually going to be worked around, back to Marner again, and they're going to try the same play. And that's what I think right now is the frustration from a Leafs standpoint is not having that plan B or that answer to it.
Yeah, and you know what? Just quickly, Ralph, I think it was the first power play where Matthews actually took it behind the net and gave it to Marner for the one-timer on the backside there.
That's right,
And that was a great opportunity. It's something that they haven't... I don't remember seeing it the last month and a half.
And you know what? I've seen quite a bit, and the Red Wings have been burned on it. And I'm trying to think of the other team that's been using it, where that little give and go to somebody that's below the goal line to one side of the net.
Yeah.
And it's a give and go right back out into the slot. And it's a one-timer. And that's what I mean, where the Leafs really haven't had an answer or a second way to score on the power play. They've either been those unbelievable passes, you know, Matthews to Riley to Marner and across, and Tavares tips it in, or somebody hammers it up into the crossbar. They probably have the most beautiful power play highlight reel in the National Hockey League, but the number of them are getting a lot smaller.
Good outing from Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, it was. And we got swimming a little bit on the opening goal by the Red Wings, but when you get to the point where you're going to be critical of that in a scoreless hockey game in the second period, that means the puck's not going in at the other end. So, it's hard to believe three straight games go to overtime with the Red Wings, and the Leafs are thrilled that all three of them did, because they were down, 4-1 early December. They were down 3-1 and then 4-3 in the dying seconds just before the break. And tonight, let's face it, and like I said with Joe at the end of the game, I said somewhere in the press conference, Mike Babcock is going to say, we'll take the point and move on, because I think he'll be pretty happy or feel at least fortunate the Leafs were able to get something out of this.
Ralphie, you know there's been a lot of talk about they're trying to find a gritty guy for up front, a top nine forward probably. Do you see this happening, or do you think they're going to stick with what they got?
Well, I mean, whether it happens or not, Gibby, I mean, one guy isn't going to make a difference in what we've seen the last 12 games,
yeah,
where they've won four. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you can somehow go out and find a way to get somebody like Wayne Simmons. I know that name has come up a couple of times. But if the other 11 guys that he's playing with aren't better than we've seen over the last 12 games, I don't think you're going to say this guy can't come in and be the savior. I mean, you've still got the core group here that has got to be much better. So that's the way you look at it. You've got a core here that includes Matthews, Tavares, Marner, William Nylander as well, and Nazem Kadri. They're the ones that still have to be better. It would be great if you could add somebody that can complement that. But right now, I think the bigger concern is getting going the guys you already have.
Yeah, good point.
Same kind of an issue on the blue line. It's great to bring Jake Muzzin in, and nobody has a problem with that. That's a nice move, but it's up to everybody else to play better too, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's at this point, you know what the core is. It might be different in a year. It might be different, totally different in 3 years. But eventually it's going to come down to the point where you say, look, boys, it's you. We're going to live or die with you. And you'd just like to see maybe some sort of, I don't know if desperation is the right word, but or urgency, but it just seemed like these are just two evenly matched teams playing a nice hockey game in a cold day in February. Because it wasn't.
That is so poetic, Ralph.
Do you know some violin music with that?
I think, should we do the Morgan Freeman voiceover?
Yeah. Come on, let's hear it. Let's hear Morgan Freeman talk about
that. That was the time. But I just, I think when you watch this game from up top, you wouldn't have any clue who was supposed to be the more talented team because it wasn't evident.
Let me ask you this. You sat through the Red Kelly ceremony. What was that like?
It was neat. It started to fill up as it went on. The Leafs had five or six players that came out. The Red Wings were all out in full gear. Sitting on the bench, attending the ceremony, and there were about five or six Leafs that came out and were sitting in their just in their hockey pants over on the bench, not fully dressed yet, taking it in as well. But it was neat, and I'm sure Gibby, you have as well, and Jimmer, I know you have over the years had the chance to meet Mr. Kelly at a number of different things, and you do wish it would have been done 10 years ago, that he could have enjoyed it even more.
Yep.
But what a nice man. And I'll be honest, I don't remember him as a player. I certainly remember him as a coach for the Leafs and, the pyramid power and everything else. But just a very, very nice man and so, so respected in the hockey community.
Yeah, and very respectful of, I mean, you know, he will not swear. He will say hang instead of the other word. He's that proper.
What word?
Oh, we know each other too well.
Yeah, we do.
Nice try, Ralph.
I just thought.
Yeah, there's probably a microphone around here somewhere.
Yeah. What's this button for? Yeah, I got you.
Thanks a lot, Ralphie.
All right, thanks, boys.
Jim Ralph reporting live from Little Caesars Arena, where the Red Wings have prevailed 3-2 in overtime over the Leafs. Any other things you'd like to add?
No, really. You know what? It's just one of those nights, and they didn't perform well. There's no two ways about it. So hopefully they can rebound tomorrow. I know Pittsburgh's coming in. They took the Senators out of play tonight, 5-3, I believe. So they're both coming in back-to-backs. Pittsburgh has fresher legs, there's no question about it, because they've played a few more games. So it'll be interesting to see how the Leafs respond tomorrow at home.
So maybe they reverse the trend and they just beat the good teams from here on in and lose to the bad teams, which is the opposite of what it was.
Yeah, well, they're definitely going to have to do something. They're going to have to start winning hockey games against the good teams and the bad teams. And, you know, if you're going to go into the postseason, with that much inconsistency in your game, it's going to be a short postseason again this season. But I don't want to sound too negative, but we haven't seen a long stretch as of late where this team puts back-to-back nights or three or four nights together where they're they're just dominating teams like they were early in the season.
Yeah, and again, it's the first game back after the week off and the All-Star break. And you don't want to sort of collide things together that don't need to be connected. But I think, you know, the consistent theme is that you're constantly looking for the full roster. And as Ralphie detailed, and I think we would all agree, if you go back to when Austin was out with the injury and Nylander wasn't signed, that was happening regularly. And suddenly, and this happens all the time, two stars come back in and everything's recast. Right. But it's been a long time now.
It has been, and you know, other guys take a, you know, you hear it all the time where your stars come back and everybody's healthy and every, and the guys that were, you know, accepting that role and taking more minutes whenever those guys were out that were performing very well, and now their minutes have been cut back and they take a little bit of a deep breath and it's almost like they expect your top players night in and night out to do it, and it's still a team game, and your third and fourth lines and your second and third deep pairings, your backup goalie, they've got to do the job. They can't sit back and watch the rest of the guys or the other guys, your top end guys, do it every night. And I'm not letting those guys off the hook because as of late, they've been very inconsistent also.
And you know, again, back to the trade thing, you can't acquire the winger that everybody wants and all of a sudden that solves everything because,
right.
As we've said many times, it's everybody else that has to dive in too.
No question about it. It's all about team. And, you know, they seem to have played their best hockey when those two guys were out. And by no means am I saying, you know, it's their fault that what's happening now, by no means. It's just, you know, they've got to be better as a team from top to bottom. With everybody healthy and get things clicking and going in the right direction.
Coming up next, we'll have post-game sound from Detroit. Later on, Dave Festchuk from the Toronto Star will stop by. 3-2, the Wings win in overtime. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network. Leafs game night, 3-2 Detroit wins in overtime in Detroit against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have a busy time. No time to dwell on this. Pittsburgh at home tomorrow night, Anaheim at home on Monday. So three games in four nights, and that's a popular theme, as I said before, 33 games, 64 nights, priceless.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, like we mentioned before the game started, Jim, it is going to be a tough stretch. It's a sprint down to the finish line right now, and if they get things going, you want to play a lot, but if they're going to keep going up and down and struggling a little bit here, it could be a long road.
It's a tall order, not just for the Leafs, for everybody. You want things to evolve,
right.
And you want to be healthy.
Absolutely.
And not easily done with that kind of a schedule.
No, it's when all the little bumps and bruises in the neck start to catch up to you, because you don't have a whole lot of time in between games to fix it.
Let's hear from Coach Babcock after the 3-2 loss.
Mike, what do you take from tonight's result? You know, predictably, what Jeff's teams usually do, and at least you come away with a point. Do you build off that in any way?
Well, I just think we've been in overtime with them the last three times, kind of what you expected. I thought they were better than us in the first. I thought we had a better second. I actually thought we were doing pretty good in the third. Our last shift or two in the third after we tied it wasn't very good, and then I didn't like our overtime that much. But, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you guys were farther away, you saw it, but I didn't know how smoothly executed the game was. Looked like teams had about a week off.
Did that affect the power play even more than anything else?
Well, I mean, you know, the bottom line, in the end, they got one. We had one, two faceoffs, didn't clear it, and our power play wasn't able to capitalize. So in the end, that's, you know, that's the game you got to win, the specialty teams battle. But I didn't think our power play, give them credit, I thought their penalty kill was real good. I didn't think our power play was very dangerous tonight. We changed it in the game too, and maybe we shouldn't have. Maybe we should have practiced it before we went to it. But in the end, we didn't score.
We're just getting back understood. Overall, is there something that is synced the group right now, Mike, going back several weeks here?
No, I don't see that. I thought this last little bit, I thought we've been really coming. To tell you the truth, I don't think, I mean, you can say whatever you want. I don't think that at all. Actually, I thought our guys worked and tried. And any time you've had as much time off as both teams, you're not going to be quite as smooth. We just got to keep battling.
The difficulty entering the zone on the power play, is that rusty thing?
Well, that's partly, but I thought they did a good job tonight, too, though. And we knew going in, but you're right. We didn't execute in that area as good as we could. We didn't, and then in the third period when we had our opportunities, we flat out just didn't do a good job on it. So, that's over with. We'll regroup and get ready for Pittsburgh tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to go through the game. I thought the puck was on the wall a lot for our team early. The forecheck was good for them. We didn't make a lot of plays. I thought as the game went on, we made more plays. And saying that, you know, we'll look at the game here tonight on the flight home and we'll get ready for tomorrow.
What did you think of the Matthews line? Obviously, chipped in two goals their second game together now.
Yeah, I thought that group was better. You know, I'm going to move things around tomorrow just for a matchup against Pittsburgh. We'll see what happens.
Coach Babcock, after the 3-2 loss in overtime, Gibby, what caught your ear?
Well, that didn't take long, moving things around tomorrow for the matchups. So.
For the matchups, well, defensive purposes, sure.
Yeah, well, oh, man, I, to me, in today's game, it seems like there's just too much moving people around for matchups. You put your lines together, you get the chemistry going, you give them the opportunity and the confidence to play against anybody. But when you're shifting guys here and there all over the place, you know, I think it's counterproductive at times.
Well, it's almost like a dare because, you know, the Leafs have a pretty good offense. I don't know if Pittsburgh's changing things around to stop them.
I don't believe they are. I think they keep their lines together. I mean, that's how teams start to play well. Stability is a good thing, and playing with the same guys over a fair amount of time, good length of time, is a good thing. Unless things aren't happening, then you break them up, you try to find another combination. But to do it just for the sake of matchups all the time, I think it's maybe just a little bit overdone, maybe a little bit of overcoaching.
Still searching, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they're trying to find the answers, and you know what? That's probably part of the factors that's contributing to the lines getting moved around and all those sorts of things. So, you know, he's trying to find an answer. He's trying to give this team an opportunity and put the best lines together that he can. But doing it every night's a different thing.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The easiest fix is the power play. You get a power play goal or two tonight, and this is a different hockey game. And, you know, when you go through that schedule that I rhymed off where there's consecutive games and consecutive nights a lot.
Yeah.
Here we go, 3 and 4 nights. There's not any time to fix that power play.
There isn't. The practice time isn't there. I mean, I know Mike, I believe he works on it quite a bit in pregame skates. And I know he's trying to work on it in practices also, but... it's very true what Jimmy Rolfe said, and it's something that we've talked about over and over again. There's no movement. It's the same look every time. And when Austin Matthews took it behind the net in the first power play tonight and set up the one-timer from Marner in the backside, the Detroit penalty killers had no idea what to do because Leafs don't do that.
Yeah, what are they doing?
High tip, low tip. You know, they don't take a point shot. They look for the seam to backside. That's the first time Detroit's probably ever seen them do that, and they had no idea how to counter it.
It's confusing as to why you would have that kind of talent and a one-dimensional really approach as to, well, we're only doing this. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I don't get it either. I mean, the skill and the abilities they have and the even the different setups you can just roll into from the 1-3-1 that they're running. You can go to a box and one. You can go to an overload. You can change the look all the time. And on changing the look, the options change. And it's very hard for penalty killers to have to adjust mid-penalty kill.
Okay, so that scenario that you mapped out, and a team that does that, who does that? Is that the coaching staff? Is that an ad-lib situation on the ice where maybe a quarterback in a power play gives some sort of a sign, we're doing this now? How does that happen?
Well, it's recognizing the transition or the switch, and that's worked on in practice. I mean, you can roll that 1-3-1, and they stay with that formation the whole time. They don't change it. And you can, like I said, you can roll it into different looks. And when you roll it into different looks, it confuses the penalty killers because now they go, okay, now they're box and one. So the options that are going to be available are going to be different, and your setup as a penalty killing unit is going to have to be different. So you're going to have to think the game and adjust pretty darn quick and pretty well to shut the different options down. But that's something you work on in practice. Is, you know, you hone something and then you shift into a different look, and trust me, it confuses the penalty killing teams.
So who is that on?
It could be on the coaching because you know they've said before that we're doing the same thing. I mean, Austin Matthews came out and said, I believe it was Austin Matthews, that we just keep doing the same thing over and over. And whenever teams pick you apart on their penalty killing videos, saying this is all they look for, this is all we're going to take away. You can see it tonight in Detroit. All Detroit did was pull all four guys back to cover the bottom four guys. How many times have I said that? With,
yeah,
we've been on the air. That's all you got to do because Morgan Riley's not going to shoot it. You know, Jake Gardner tried to wrist one through, which is, you know, probably Detroit was going, holy, oh, they're going to start shooting? No, they're not going to start shooting. It was just Jake Gardner trying to get a shot through. But they pulled all four guys back. They closed the seams off, and they shut everything up, shut everything down low.
Further analysis now from the Leafs on TSN panel. Here's Andy Petrillo.
Alongside Dave Poulin, Bob McKenzie, the season series between the Leafs and Red Wings, it's done. The Leafs with a record of 2-0-2. That's right. Three of the four games going into extra time. This time it goes to the Detroit Red Wings. Highly entertaining when you go 3-on-3. And this one, the Red Wings come out on top.
Yeah, a sloppy game right from start to finish, really, and it was a sloppy play in 3-on-3 that led to the winning goal. But this is what you expect when you've been off 8 or 9 days of the break. We've seen a number of these games this week. But you can see on the 3-on-3 goal, you got some tired legs out there. Matthews gets beat by Nyquist out at the point, and it's just a little indecision with Morgan Rielly, and Mitch Marner has them going to the same guy and leaving Danny Kaiser wide open on the offside. They had their chances in overtime, but overall, I would classify it as a sloppy point for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Patrick Marleau pointless in 12 of his last 13 games heading into tonight, but Bobby does get a very important goal. It ties it up and essentially forces the Leafs to get that point, unable to get the extra one. But what did you make of him?
You know, we were talking about how rusty the Leafs look because of their layoff. In Patrick Marleau's case, being the elder statesman and all, that time off probably energized him, and he looked like he had lots of jump. He had a tremendous primary assist in terms of getting things going, controlling the puck behind the net and getting it out for the Auston Matthews first goal. Can you get a primary assist on your own goal? You should get one there because a great job on the forecheck by Marleau. Two more Leafs get the puck, and by the time it's all said and done, he's the one who bunts it into the net. So, yeah, he scored the goal, but he also really created the play that allowed it to stay alive below the goal line. And I thought Marleau, more than most Leafs, had a lot of jump in this game, especially on the forecheck.
It's interesting because in line combinations, we've been talking so much about which centers are going to play with which right wingers. And we haven't thought that maybe a left winger is going to dictate what happens in Patrick Marleau. But Matthews tonight was good. As the game went on, he got better and better. It started in the second period, a couple really dominant shifts where he controlled the play. He dominated, just cycling the puck, getting down low, really handled things well. And I thought he drove it from that standpoint.
New kid on the block tonight, Jake Muzzin. So, of course, we have been tracking the ice time from the blue line this game.
Yeah, probably less minutes than what Jake Muzzin is used to as a member of the Los Angeles Kings playing on that top line. But respectable minutes nonetheless for the first night out. Look at Morgan Rielly's minutes, by the way. 28-16. Played a ton. And then after that, everybody under 20 for the Leafs. Gardner at 19-16. Coming off the back spasms, that's a good sign that he was able to log the second most minutes. There's Muzzin. Now, of that 18-08, 51 seconds were on the power play, 2 minutes and 18 seconds on the PK. He had 2 block shots, 2 missed shots, and there's obviously going to be an adjustment period for him, and there's also going to be an adjustment period for the coaches as they get used to him. Late in the hockey game, in that situation, they pulled Muzzin off the ice, put Ron Hainsey out there with Morgan Rielly to finish up the game.
Bob, I played in that exact game. I got traded during an All-Star break. I played on the road in that first game. And, yeah, there was lots of excitement and energy. It was the first time I'd been traded. And I can tell you, I had nothing left. And as that game went on, Jake Muzzin looked like he was slowing down.
A lot of excitement for Jake Muzzin playing for the team he grew up cheering for. But, yeah, it wasn't a pretty game. But Detroit grinds out the win on a night that they raised Red Kelly's number 4 to the rafters.
3-2, the final score for the Wings in overtime. Coming up next, we hear from Jake Muzzin and Auston Matthews. A note to our network operators, the outtime tonight is 11:44. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Nyquist works into the half boards, had it knocked off his stick by Matthews partially. Now he gets away from Matthews, closes in with a pass, scores!
Yes, that'll be the TSN Turning Point brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.com. Jakemuzzin.ca. Jake Muzzin, you know, this is an uphill climb for a guy. Supposed to be an off week, but he spent his off week moving back home.
Yeah, there's a lot of stress there. There's no question. But you know what? It is what it is. And he did have some tough shifts tonight. And, you know, Dave Poulin mentioned it earlier on the panel that, you know, there's a lot of stress there. You have a lot of energy and adrenaline and new team, and you want to do the best. But it's like a sugar high. You burn right out through the course of the game. I remember when I was traded to Chicago, it was the same thing, my first game there. I mean, I was playing with a broken ankle or a broken foot, but halfway through the game, I was like,
oh, man, oh, there's more?
I'm zapped. Yeah, we're tied now. Can't we just end it this way? And it's very true. You burn out quick, let's put it that way. And you saw some of the shifts tonight with Jake Muzzin. He could hardly get off the ice. And you feel bad for the guy, but it's going to come around. There's no two ways about it.
Well, and that's a lot of stuff to process in short order, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's not like he's moving from Buffalo to Toronto. He's moving from L.A., which is the other side of the continent. So it's... Yep, he's had to go through a lot in such a short time, and it's stressful. But like I said, he'll work through it. He'll come through that pretty quick.
He played 18 minutes and 8 seconds tonight, and here's what he said post game.
Brand new team. How did it go for you? How did it feel?
Well, it would have been really good if we got the win. But all things considered, it was first game for me in a while too. A little bit of an extra long break there, so. Felt not bad. Some things to pick up on and get better, but for the most part, felt pretty good.
Will your role differ with the Leafs than what it was in Los Angeles?
I would think so, yeah. Just with the way they're rolling right now, I don't think they would want to switch up too much. So we'll see how it goes. If things change, then, you know, we'll adapt.
How do you feel with Morgan? Do you feel a sense of some chemistry there?
Yeah. I mean, like, he's easy to play with, man. He talks a lot. He's in position. You know, he's a heck of a player, so I'm fortunate enough to be paired with him.
I had a perspective of the Detroit forecheck tonight and just how tenacious it was, Jake.
Yeah, they were quick on us. We had to do a better job of getting pucks off the wall. I thought they did a good job kind of sealing walls and trapping us sometimes. And, you know, we had a slow start, but once I think we got a little bit better as the game went on with that.
Is there muscle memory when you're just playing a game? Does it feel
Kind of just go and play. I mean, the game is what it is. I think I had a harder time in practice trying to figure out the new drills than the game, so hopefully it stays the same.
Anything surprise you about playing with
a lot of skill with these guys? Oh, it's nice, yeah.
What stands out to you about Austin?
Composure, strength, obviously a great shot tonight. He doesn't seem too rattled out there, which is nice. He settles everything down, so it's just fun to play with him.
39 years of age, Patrick Marleau.
Yeah.
You've seen so much over your career.
Yeah.
What did you see tonight?
Same old Patty. Speed, great, you know, huge goal for us, obviously, getting one late. He's just a smart player out there. He's seen it all, done it all, so it's just the same old him.
What stands out to you about the system Mike has him playing here? And is it a big adjustment from L.A. in the Western Conference?
I think it's a faster team, and when we send guys, they're going, and they're not slowing down. They're going, so it'll be. I'll have to make, you know, I'll have to trust that they're going to get the puck. So little stuff like that, not too much.
Silly question, maybe. What are you doing tonight? Are you staying in a hotel in Toronto?
Yeah, another hotel.
There you go. Two different cultures altogether, like L.A., the sun and everything here in Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
snow,
it's
sand light, to the snow.
And everything.
Yeah.
How long is it going to take you to adapt to that?
Well, I grew up here, so hopefully not too long. It was a little cold landing in Detroit the other night, though, I'll tell you that.
When you say trust that they're going to get the puck, what do you mean in layman's terms?
Just like, I can send it and they're going to get it. Like, right. I don't have to, you know, kind of wait for them to get open. I can kind of lead them and they'll get it because they're fast.
Well, he grew up in Woodstock. He knows snow.
Oh. You think?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That what he described there, the trusting, you just got to understand that when he does it, it'll work, right?
Yeah, and again, you mentioned he felt more comfortable during the game than he did in practices trying to learn the new drills. But when he catches on, he's going to get it all. He's got good hockey sense. He reads the game well. And, you know, it's a different style and a different skill level than he was playing with in L.A. So, things are going to be a little different, a little quicker, and he'll get up to speed and become the part that they dealt for, that they know how big a part he's going to be for this team.
The question that comes to mind is, how long does it take to absorb all that stuff and be confident about it?
Well, it's repetition. I mean, he's going to be watching probably quite a bit of video. They're going to, whenever they don't practice, they're going to be going over technical stuff, schematic stuff with Jake, and showing him on the videos. This is what it looks like. This is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And whenever they do practice, obviously the practical part is a huge part also.
Auston Matthews tonight, one of each for 2 points and 21-31 or 38 of ice time. But in the faceoff dot, 1-4, lost 8. That's not good enough, is it?
33% is not good. No, yeah. That's not very good at all. And Leafs overall weren't very good. 47% total, I think they were. So, whenever you lose that many draws, and they weren't far off, but you're chasing the game. That's pretty much what you're doing. You always want to start with the puck off a draw and get into the offensive zone and have some fun.
Auston Matthews, post game.
Combination possibly, Auston, the break-in, given the nature of the opposition and how they usually play, important to the result here tonight, do you think?
Yeah, I thought the first period we didn't have our legs, and then it's no secret we've all been on a break for 7 days, had one practice going into it, so I think that's no excuse, but I thought in the second and third we found our legs. We started to play in there and more, and a lot of positive things we can take away from this game. Battled back, forced it to overtime, weren't able to get the extra point.
How nice does it feel for you and Petty to combine on 2 goals and start building that chemistry?
It's great. I thought the second and third, once we kind of got our legs, we were playing in their zone, making plays, using each other, and as the game went on, I think we just got better and better. So it's obviously a big positive we can take away, and hopefully continue that tomorrow against Pittsburgh.
Do you flush the power play in the 5 attempts here tonight as to maybe the break and all that went into that?
I mean, it's no excuse. We got to be able to capitalize on some of these. I thought the change there we made with Willie gives us one more option, opens things up a bit. They got to give their PP or their PK credit. They did a good job taking away lanes and getting back door and taking away sticks and whatnot. So we've obviously got to make some adjustments and be able to bear down on our opportunities.
How do you think Jake Muzzin handled his first game as a Leaf?
Great. I mean, I don't think he really looked out of place at all out there. Made some good passes, big blocks. He just played his game, and I was extremely impressed with him because it's definitely not easy getting traded and jumping right into a game, especially after a break like that, and he didn't look out of place at all.
That is Auston Matthews after the 3-2 loss in overtime in Detroit. Coming up next, Patrick Marlowe. He spoke after the game. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Leafs radio network. Leafs Game Night, Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert with you for the final segment as we put the closing chapter on a 3-2 loss in Detroit in overtime. The triple M or the 3M line, you happy with that tonight?
They were better. There's no question about that. I mean, what I was impressed with was the forechecks they got going. Marlowe was in there quick. Matthews was in there quick. Marner was in there quick, even though I don't believe he got any points tonight. But it was good to see them have some success. I mean, Patrick Marlowe especially. But I was the thing that struck me first, like I said earlier, was I was very impressed with the forechecks they put in. They were in there hard.
So I guess the nagging question is, that line could have a good game. Why can't the other two?
That's the way the team's going right now.
I know.
And in the Washington game, it wasn't so much the 3M line as it was Kadri's line. And, it's whenever they're at their best, all four lines are clicking. And, they're not perfect, but everything's happening for them. They're playing well in all three zones. And right now, it's sporadic. It seems to be two different lines every night. I mean, I don't even remember seeing Freddie Gauthier on the ice and very much anywhere near the third period or even in the second. So
played 7-11, so that's probably why.
Yeah, well, and Janssen, the same, and Lindholm, and it's you need everybody going. There's no two ways about it, especially in a game like tonight where, you know, you've got no legs because you've been out for a while. But they're very inconsistent, and until they get all four lines clicking and hitting on all cylinders, they're going to be up and down.
Yeah, I know, but when you watch, when you see the potential, if you're positive here, you look at that and go, well, if this ever clicks, look out. And same with the power play. If they could just add a wrinkle or two, it would blow people away, but it just doesn't happen.
It's not happening. And, you know, you're not seeing anything that's pointing in that direction where maybe there is, I don't want to say a change, but there is something being done to give more information or opportunity for the guys that are on the ice. And again, I go back to this changing your lines all the time just for matchups. I mean, how do you make chemistry when you're playing with somebody different, you know, night after night, you're not playing with the same guys. I mean, tonight, the lines are where they were. And he said, yep, he's changing for tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see what the mix-up is going to be tomorrow.
Would you leave the lines as they were tonight for tomorrow night's game?
Absolutely. You need to build chemistry and consistency and shifting them around. And, you know, even in the old days, you wanted to stick together with lines. You couldn't be moving around all over the place because guys have different tendencies and idiosyncrasies and do different things on the ice, and you can't get used to them because you're there one night or two nights with them, and then you're with somebody else the next night. So you're always trying to adapt and get the feel for the guys that you're playing for. So it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night, and like I said, what changes will be made.
Patrick Marleau, one of each for two. He was pretty good in the faceoff dot, won all three, and he played 17-19 tonight. So he had a pretty good night, and let's spend a couple of minutes with him post-game.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more of a, you know, getting that speed going out here. I think more of a grinding game in the West, so it'll be a little bit different. But it's something, he moves the puck really well, so it's something he'll adapt to quickly.
As you remember, I mean, they're pretty methodical moving up on the pitch, right? Like shorter passes, kind of working up.
Yeah.
You guys are just going.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's time.
Yeah, I think you know, that's part of the way we play. But we also like to, you know, make the easy plays and those quick little plays. But guys are, when we see we get the puck, guys are, you know, jumping for open ice.
What was it happening on the power play there?
Well, we had some trouble getting in their zone a few times, and then you know, they did a really good job tonight, I think, standing up their line. And when we did get in zone, they were pressuring all over the ice. So you know, some rest coming off the break on our PP, but we gotta, you know, shake that off and make sure that we're ready tomorrow night.
Patrick, do you take consolation in the grinding nature of the way you guys produced offense in those two goals here tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I think you know, it's the way the games are going to be, you know, coming down the stretch here, and that's playoff hockey. So we're going to have to get used to it. And you know, if we do it the right way, you know, it usually results in some good opportunities and some goals.
Patrick, now with two games separated by a bit of a break with you and Austin and Mitch, how do you feel the chemistry is coming?
It's coming. It'll take some time, but tonight was good to get on the board together a couple times, and just reading, reacting from each other, it's fun to play with those guys because they, you know, they see the ice so well and see the game so well.
Where did the puck hit you?
Right in the shaft, right by my.
Jeff Blashill, Bill Peters, they're disciples of Mike Babcock. What do you see in games against teams coached by those men in terms of making it so difficult for a team as skilled as Toronto?
Yeah, it's just very detailed. You know, they want to have their numbers all over the ice, and you can see that in the way they defend and the way they attack.
Patrick Marleau, post-game. So that goal that he scored, he said it went off the shaft of his stick.
Okay.
Sort of went off his glove, didn't it?
That's what it looked like to me, but obviously he was closer to it.
And you're okay with it counting?
Yeah, yeah. I think the concern was if you watch his right leg, it almost looks like he opens it up and kind of bumps the puck into the net. But if it went off the shaft of the stick, then obviously his body part didn't come into play there. So there was no kicking motion.
Yeah, no, it never went off his foot.
Yeah, no, but you can see in the replay, he moves his leg and the angle that the puck came from, you couldn't really see if it hit his leg or his,
oh, right, okay.
You know, his hands or whatever. So
yeah,
that's probably what they were looking at. But yeah, it counts off the shaft of a stick. But really, what else is he going to say? No, I punched it in.
And you can't do that, right?
No, you cannot.
Okay. Out of town scoreboard: Chicago blasts the Sabres 7-3. Nashville slips by Florida 4-1. So while we're on Florida, the trade, the Broussard and Cheyenne for,
Come on. Bukestad.
Bukestad
and McCann.
Yeah.
McCann.
Is that something the Leafs should have looked at?
No, I don't think so. I think they believe they know exactly what they want. They went out and got a shutdown defenseman and a steady defenseman in Muzzin. So whatever part they're looking for now, whether it's a forward, another right shot D, they know what they're looking at. So those guys that moved there really, I don't think, would have fit in.
Tampa in a shootout, 1-0 over the Islanders. Pittsburgh at Scotiabank Arena tomorrow night was at home to Ottawa tonight and won by a score of 5-3. Other scores will read like this. Washington 4-3 over Calgary. It was Carolina 5-2 over Vegas with the weird post-game celebration that's probably going to cause a problem or two. And Dallas 3-1 over Minnesota. I mean, I know Carolina, I guess it's entertaining, but what do you do for an encore when you have that post-game win celebration at home?
Duck, duck, goose. I mean, come on. These guys are making millions of dollars.
Well, they're having fun, but it's...
Oh, yeah. Well,
put more effort.
You know what? Let's play Red Rover next time, or Tag, or... I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, wow. The professional in you doesn't want any part of that.
Pin the tail on the donkey or something. I don't know. It's idiotic.
So, Pittsburgh tomorrow night. What is the challenge?
Well, the challenge is Pittsburgh has played more games while Leafs were off on this break. So they've got their legs. They've got their game going. Big win against Tampa at home. Obviously a big win at home against Ottawa tonight. And they're bringing a little bit of a winning streak into Toronto. So they're going to – I mean, every time Pittsburgh comes in and plays in Toronto or plays Toronto in Pittsburgh, it's always a good game. I mean, they're up for it. They know they're a good team. So it'll be another test tomorrow night for the Leafs.
And the two new guys got into the game tonight, so I don't know if they had the experience of burning out halfway through the game, but they played, so maybe their issue might be tomorrow night.
Yeah, could be. Sounds like they got in there maybe 5 or 10 minutes just before the puck drop. So
adrenaline's a great thing, isn't it?
It is if you have a lot of it.
And it runs out.
Yeah, and then the burn sets in, but... yeah, no, they're two good players. You know, Jared McGann is he's a hardworking kid. He's got some good skill, and Bukestad's a big kid. You know, we mentioned earlier, he reminds me of Hornquist. I mean, he's a big body. He can score. He goes to the tough areas. He's been struggling a little bit in Florida. Obviously, that's one of the reasons they put him in the package and offered him up. But he could be a big player for Pittsburgh going into the postseason.
Yeah, McCann played just over 10 minutes tonight, and Bukestad with an assist played 16-13. But these are industrious wingers that can cut to the net. I mean, that's what the Panthers were made of, and
yeah.
I guess it was just time for them to go.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how they return, you know, Brassard and Sheehan are for Florida, because they're both skaters.
I think the attraction, those are expiring contracts. They got a bunch of draft picks there, too. Right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, so whatever they were trying to figure out, whatever pieces of the package they wanted, they got. But it'll be interesting to see if they want to keep those guys with them down the road.
So the Leafs lose 3-2 in overtime in Detroit. Get Pittsburgh at home Saturday night, and Monday night it's Anaheim at home, and then Wednesday it's Ottawa before they go on a road trip that really is going to be interesting. Starts in Montreal on Saturday, a week tomorrow, and it ends Tuesday, February 19th in St. Louis, with stops at New York, Colorado, Vegas, Arizona, and St. Louis. That's a key point of the season right there, isn't it?
It is, and there's a lot of teams that you mentioned right there that are battling to get into the postseason or are battling for jobs for next year. So, it'll be a test every night on that road trip for these guys.
Well, it didn't work out tonight, but they got a point.
Yeah, and you know what? They needed it. I mean, Boston and Montreal right behind them, so gives them a bit of a spread, 2 points, but they've got a lot of work ahead of them.
Yes, they do. And with that point, they move 2 points ahead of Boston and 2 points ahead of Montreal. Thanks for joining us on Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and good night to the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.